Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hi, Raleigh.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, Lauren.
I am so thrilled that you are able to join me here live in Los Angeles on this beautiful Thursday, July 16th. And, okay, this is a question I have for you.
Oh, all right.
So what is the attitude of gratitude for today?
Well, actually, let me explain to you. It was something that I thought up a while ago. I'm a motivational, inspirational speaker, and so gratitude is I think it's a combination. You know, people say, "How are you?" "I'm fine." "Are you joyful?" "Are you there?" They use all these wonderful synonyms. Gratitude, are you grateful, are you this? So I put together a bundle word, and the bundle word is gratitude, G-L-A-D as in David, I, T as in Thomas, U, D as in David, E, gratitude.
I love it.
And my talk that I give is, how's your attitude of gratitude? And that's where that comes from.
Oh, that's great.
And people say, well, is it gratitude? And I say, well, it's partly gratitude. Is it so it's this amorphous word called gratitude. And I say it to people, and then I say, and how does that strike you? And they say, well, glad. I'm glad. And I say, that's the attitude.
Well, you know how it strikes me when you say the gratitude. It can't help but bring a smile to my face. And a little giggle.
There you go. This is good.
Chuckles and giggles. And I think, you know, that's the beginning to change one's attitude is with a little smile, a little giggle, and that will create a domino effect with everyone we meet.
You know, it is so necessary, Lauren, as you well know. My real job.
You have a real job?
My real job in this lifetime, I believe, is to make people glad. Mm-hmm. But more than that is to understand why they need to be glad, why it's important to be glad. And I think that people who don't feel that way, they should feel that way. And I know you're not supposed to say should and need and those words, which are judgmental words. So I'm trying to do them with an intent that's different. I would prefer that people be glad when even, you know how they turn around and they say, but I don't have anything to be glad for.
Right.
Well, they do actually. And so what I feel that my job is in life is to assist them in seeing how everything has a basis of glad in it.
So let's take these economic times right now. They're challenging for many of us. So how would you say to somebody who says, "Well, I've lost my home, my business is in the tank, and right, I'm supposed to have a gratitude about that." How would you help advise someone to make a minor switch so they can see things differently?
Interesting question. Pat Fraley, who was on my Blog Talk Radio show 2 weeks ago, was at my one-woman show last week, which you have come to as well. And I, you know how I go into the audience and I ask them what if they could change their life, what do they want to be?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I asked people, and I came to Pat, and Pat said, "I want to be a better me." And I thought, wow, what a cool answer, how to be
that
a better
cool.
me. So to apply the better me to the question that you just asked is what I think that these times are all about.
Well, I think also that times like this, there is more opportunity, and we would like to get, I would like to get that message out to people that in a challenging time, more doors open. And if we all have that attitude of gratitude, more doors open, more opportunities come to the surface, and then we can move forward together. And it's exciting. Exciting stuff can really happen.
I agree with you 100%, which is one of your purposes in life, which is one of my purposes. And I don't mean it on a lofty, this is my purpose, you have to be glad. And I'm not talking about it that way. I just believe that there are people who just perhaps need a map, could use a map of where they could turn to the left instead of the right, and then they could be glad. But they're kind of locked into the left. Maybe that's what their parents taught them, their teachers taught them, their clergy taught them, of all religions, not just any in particular, but they taught them maybe that they need to go to the left. And if they only sidestepped a little to the right, they might have a better gratitude.
Well, I think sometimes we need to do a little hand-holding with those that need help more than others, because a fear factor comes into play where people just are so afraid of taking that first step forward. And it doesn't have to be a large step. It can just be a little tiny baby step. And taking these continual baby steps forward really do make a difference towards the bigger picture.
What is it? A journey begins with one step?
It is. Bingo, Raleigh. You hit it. That's
but
it.
Let me tell you what I think the one step is. I think the one step is thought.
That's a good place to start. I would have to agree with you there.
Because if the step is a combination even of thought and movement,
mm-hmm.
then the movement won't throw you off balance.
Exactly. I agree with you. And I know you wrote another book with an interesting title, The Forgiveness Factor. And I think, gosh, forgiveness, that's a big topic. I mean, we could talk days about forgiveness.
Years, and lifetimes, millenniums.
Exactly. I don't think I have much time today to talk about that. But I know that I know for myself sometimes I hold on to things because somebody did me wrong, and I'm not going to forgive them for what they did, but I'm discovering that it doesn't suit me. It's not a purpose. So how would you advise someone to let go of a hurt and learn to forgive?
Well, it's such a beautiful subject, this forgiveness. You have to... A long time ago, when I was ranting and raving one day in my kitchen in New York, which was about 30 years ago, so that's how long I've been on this journey, a friend of mine said, Raleigh, you have to start with forgiving yourself. I said, what? And some other expletives along with that. Forgive myself? What does that mean? It took me a very long time, and I would love to, I'd love other people to just, I'd like to shorten that trip for them by this discussion. It's not so much forgiving others. It's forgiving yourself for thinking even the way that you think.
Right, but don't
the anger that you have, the hatred that you have, mm-hmm. the diminished capabilities that you think that you have because of what someone else did for you. I believe that it all starts with you. You are the one that called this in. You're the one that came in with this. You're the one that arrived on this planet with whatever this is that you are then going to interact with another person.
True. Everything begins. I always say it's all about me.
Yeah. Well, that's a very funny statement. I was just about to say that. When people say that, it's all about me, they don't really understand what that means.
No, I say it facetiously.
Sure, we all do.
But
we all do.
The proof that it all these things start with us.
It begins absolutely,
here.
Absolutely. It is all about me.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if I forgive myself, then that lets a big, huge sigh and other sounds,
mm-hmm.
just, it's like a balloon when it's set free, It makes that thing, and it goes round and round and round and round, poof, plop. Look at all the weight it lost on the way down, because when you pick it up from the ground, it's flat. It's totally flat. It lost all that weight. That big, big, big thing, fat thing.
Look what we carry around in our souls and our bodies, and how our body takes all this on upon itself, shouldering responsibilities. We all have them, and we all have a variety of challenges and choices to make this journey more enjoyable along the way. And yes, we'll get a bump in the road, but it's, like you said, changing the thought that can
Yeah.
Be.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when you forgive yourself, it doesn't mean that the doves are going to come out and the pearly gates are going to open and the music is going to play.
But there's no party?
Sometimes, pardon me?
There's no party?
The party is in yourself.
That's right, yeah.
You know, that's where the party is. The party is, I did it. And you can continue all of your life being in the same position or not. But the point is that the what's happened inside is a healing.
Yeah.
And I have noticed that even though my plight may not look better from the outside,
mm-hmm.
my plight from the inside is so drastically different that it's not a plight anymore. It's a delight.
Right. Oh, another one.
Hey.
those fabulous word creations of yours.
It's not a batitude or a satitude. It's a gladitude.
I know, you're making me smile already. And I experienced some of that gratitude because I was very fortunate enough to catch your one-woman show here in Los Angeles, Evolution of Soul 685, at the White Fire Theater, and it was wonderful.
Thank you.
I so enjoyed it. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's about this heavenly angel. Actually, it's a soul. It's a soul whose mother. So he has this cloud. He's on this. The soul is on this cloud, and apparently is satisfied with this cloud. But the soul's mother doesn't feel that this is adequate for the soul, that it could do better. It could do better, not only from her standpoint of status, but actually for her child as well. It could do better. And so it steals the child's halo, the soul's halo, and she and an angel go into cahoots about how they're going to gently move this soul off of this, what they think is a uneventful, meaningless, white, flat cloud, and they're going to send her off to the big, better, everything cloud, where there's 85% dark death by chocolate constantly.
Oh.
There's a Sting concerts on demand free.
Nice.
There's a whole list of things that are available that are not available on the uneventful cloud. And so the soul starts out on the journey with the aid of this angel that assists it. She picks the new family that she wants. I say she because she decides she wants to be a girl. In fact, she wants to be a girly girl. So she picks her family. She picks her support staff. She all those people that are there in case the main person is late from lunch or caught in traffic or any of these. And so there's a backup community that comes in and picks up the baton and keeps running. And, you know, all kinds of wonderful things. And then eventually she goes to Earth because that's where she's chosen to do the studies.
And
she could go to the
journey,
Pleiades.
Right.
She could go to the planets. She could go to the constellations. She can go anywhere, including Earth, and she decides to go to Earth, and then she gets born, and she does her wonderful stuff getting born, and plays in utero for about 15, 20 minutes, and gets the lay of the land, so to speak, and then poof, comes out. I don't really talk about what happens when she's on Earth. I do it from a retrospective
mm-hmm.
at the very end of what she learned.
Well, I know it was a very successful run here in L.A., and do you have thoughts of taking it on the road?
I am going to do that. Thank you for asking. I'm going to be in Boulder for the Boulder Fringe Festival in August. I'm doing 18th through the 22nd, six performances. And then somewhere in the fall, I will start up with other fringe festivals that are happening and do that. I'm going to look for a tour agent that will take me around to all the wonderful, like the Mesa Arts Center or the Orange County Arts Center, places like that that have subscription.
Now, for our listeners that don't know exactly what a fringe festival is, could you go into more detail about that?
It happened about, it started about 50 years ago in Scotland, mm-hmm. in at St. Andrews, where they have a myriad festivals, golf it's included, and this apparently the story goes this troop of troubadours came to this festival that was being held, and the festival put their nose up at them and said they weren't professional enough for this festival, and so they went to the fringe of the festival land and they set up their own tents and did their own thing,
and that spread.
Yeah, that spread. It spread all over. It spread through Canada. It spread through Europe, United States. Dubai has one, and basically it's you're not allowed to choose the people by content.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to do the thing.
Well, I know here in Hollywood, next year, 2010, Hollywood will be hosting the Fringe Festival.
Ooh-wee.
So that might be a perfect venue for Evolution of Soul 685.
Yes, I'm going to do the one. I'm going to apply for the one in New York. New York is interesting. You have to write a letter of how it will change your life if you come into the film, into the Fringe in New York. What it will do for you.
You won't be on the fringe anymore. You'll be you'll be on the fringe.
I won't have to walk in the fringe shoes or
yeah,
the shoes.
No, that's right. Right.
Now then I can have shoes made of fringe rather than
right. It's about being comfortable in your shoes, right?
Exactly.
So would you say, Raleigh, that you are comfortable in your shoes?
I'm much more comfortable than I ever was. I think that doing the one woman show was an amazing spurt. For me, and anyone that does anything that catapults them out of their norm,
mm-hmm.
and makes them stretch out of their envelope, all those sayings, do it. I don't care what it is, just do it, because it is the growth factor, the healing inside of thinking that you weren't good enough to be able to do something like this. You didn't have the talent. You didn't have this. You didn't have that. That's an external look. And you'll always go down on that. You'll always be taken down on that. It's what you do inside. And so just the fact that I managed to do this, mm-hmm. even though it cost me a little bit more than I wanted to spend, I know that I was worth every cent that I put into it and everything that I got out of it. I mean, for someone even like you to come to the show and sit there and laugh and smile, just it blew my mind that somebody was getting something from what I was saying.
You know,
amazing healing to me.
It is. I remember a few years ago I did a show of myself. I have a little creative bug in me, and the goal of my show was to be vulnerable, because I realized through the rehearsal process that all the magic is through that vulnerability. It's not about being funny, being good at whatever craft you're performing, but if you could let everything go and be vulnerable and allow the magic to happen, it will. And it did. It was kind of an out-of-body experience, because I didn't even remember anything that happened. I just
That's very true. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
The minute I walked off stage and said goodbye to everybody and they left, and I was standing there and I'm going, why am I dressed in this white funny thing?
Nobody told me.
Nobody. Hello. Can I go to Starbucks like this?
You know, you probably could, and here in L.A., nobody would say a thing.
That's cute.
Are you from Central Casting? Are you? The film is down the street, sweetheart. I'm sorry.
Are you handing out flyers? What are you doing here?
That's right. Hi, I'm the angel. I'm thinking.
What am I selling? But it, you know, it does. It, and I want everybody to understand that it's not just you have to do theater. I'm not saying that. Whatever you have wanted to do or wanted to be, if you could do it now, do it. Take a deep breath and do it.
Right.
Do it part-time, do it full-time, do volunteer to do it. Do whatever. Just go out of your skin, go out of your norm, and just do it. I'll give you another example. About a year ago, I try and stay away from children.
And is there a particular reason? Do you want?
I don't
to
have
tell
any.
Us? Oh, you
don't
have
any. and to play with them, and you know, I just don't think that they would like me. I really don't. I grew up that way, just thinking that. And yet I'm a Pied Piper to children. They love me when they're around. I play well because I'm just a child myself. Mm-hmm. And I decided one day that this has to go. This thought about children has to go. So I called up the Desert Mountain Elementary School system, which is about, maybe 15 minutes from where I live. And I said, do you have storytelling? Oh, I know, SAG and AFTRA has this I forget what it's called. It is a program to tell stories in school.
Right.
In schools. So I said, I found out that was at Desert. That's how that worked. I called them up and I said, do you need anybody? And they said, yes, we have two kindergarten classes that need stories told to them. I took a deep breath and I went over there. Some of these kids are almost as tall as I am. I'm 5 feet tall. They're tall kids. So I sat down on the little chair and I opened the book and the magic started. I started to I read stories. I mean, I am an actress. And so I read this story, and the kids' eyes are popped open, and they're laughing, and they're squealing, and they're pushing each other, and they're having a wonderful time. And I just looked at them, and I thought, that was easy. You know, much like the easy button thing, that was easy.
That's right, right.
And then I had another class right after that. I went across the hall, did the same thing. Same thing happened. Squealing, laughing, loving. Goodbye, Miss Pinsky. Come again. We'll be here next week. And I thought, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. But the first of any attempt, the first attempt at anything we want to do is always the most challenging. And once we can get over that hurdle, because you often hear many people say, well, when my children are out of school, when I retire, et cetera, et cetera. You know, when... instead of just saying, you got to do it now. Because, you know, there's no guarantee of anything. Here's an opportunity, and just do it. Have some fun.
Do something.
Yeah, do something that makes you giggle.
Something.
Do something with gratitude.
Be humorous. Make people laugh.
Well, you know, hey, I realize that you get less wrinkles when you laugh than when you do with frowns. So I'm all about the wrinkle thing. I got the wrinkle, you know, the no cream. See there, I'm saving money on wrinkle cream.
I was in the doctor's office the other day, and this wonderfully wrinkled woman came in, and she was smiling. So I said, you have such a wonderful smile. She said, yes, I like laugh lines.
Isn't that great? That's
wonderful.
I just
looked at her like, wow, I want to know you. And I said, you like laugh lines? She said, yes, all of these wrinkles are from happiness.
That's beautiful.
Oh, I went, okay, thank you, I can do that.
You know, you feel everything, when you're happy and feel good, your whole life completely changes. Everything has a more positive outlook in your life, from work to social experiences to dealing with challenging people. You just kind of put a little switch, you know, put the switch on, and that a challenging experience could be not so challenging with a different thought.
Well, it's the fear before the event that has us blocked. As I said, I went in and I read, and whooped, you did your show, boop, you know, I did my show, boop. It was like, you know, that hammer when you go to the fair,
right?
And you go, oh no, I'll never be able to ring that bell. And so you don't do it, and then when nobody's looking, maybe, or there's a very sparse crowd, you go up and boom, you did it, and you go, wow.
Yeah.
So it's the fear ahead of time, I think, that cripples us and doesn't allow us to be happy. So I have my big thing in gratitude that I tell people to do is, if they can't laugh on the outside, then laugh on the inside. Think of all those laugh lines on all of your organs. Can you see your liver smiling?
My liver.
Can you see your liver smiling? Can you see those laugh lines around your little kidney there? You can't help but laugh. Either that, or they look at you and go, uh-oh.
Yeah, you know, I'm always up for kind of trying to make people's day a little brighter, in a sense. You know, you go into a market and you're checking your groceries out, and somebody will perhaps, say, the checker will say, is there anything else I can do for you? And sometimes I usually say, yes, I would love a massage. And
yeah,
they they just get dumbfounded. A massage? Or is that aisle on aisle 9? Where did I get that? You know, I want to be a little playful. And everybody is just, a lot of people are just so into, okay, potatoes, $1.99 a pound, peas.
I don't have $1.99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But can you laugh? Do you have a laugh?
Yeah.
Do you have a smile? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. That's so when are you the most happiest, speaking of laughter and smiling?
These days, I'm a 24-hour happy person.
Are you really?
I truly, 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 truly am. What I learned from doing the show and what I was capable of just has set me up. I'm walking on air.
That's wonderful.
I have such a wonderful opinion of myself now, and I always had a wonderful opinion of myself, but it was different.
Mm-hmm.
This one is so deep into that, those laugh lines in the kidneys. I got to tell you, I'm amazed that I could do that. I've always wanted to do that, never had the opportunity, never allowed the opportunity through, and then one day I just said, I'm going to do it. I did it, and boom. And so I'm just thrilled that I did it, and it makes me happy. Not what I did, but that I did.
And I think our listeners will be helpful for them to hear that it's not always about the end of a result. Your show, Evolution of Soul 685, was quite a success, but your journey to do the show was not about, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it's got to be a successful show, but it was the moment-to-moment step that you did in that journey of producing the show. And because you did a moment-to-moment journey, the end result can't help but be a success for you.
Yeah, there was a split screen. Of course, I wanted it to be successful and make lots of money, and you know, and but you're absolutely right. I wanted to see if I could do it, and I did it.
Wow.
And so, you know, for some people, walking across the street is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some people, going into an Ace Hardware and speaking to the person behind the counter is a big deal. So every day, the challenge for somebody is of a different level, is of a different sort,
right,
of leaving a loved one. You know, I mean, these are big challenges for people. And at the end of the show, you know, it says that, you know, if the people around you don't love you, get rid of them, even if it costs a lot of money. You know, don't be there. Only surround yourself with people who love you.
Exactly.
And that includes yourself.
Yeah. Before we go, Riley, I want to get back to your books. Where can our lovely listeners buy your books?
Well, right at the moment, I'm putting up a website for Forgiveness Factor website exists, but I'm going to put up the offering of the CD for forgiveness, and that'll be up there probably within a week.
Okay.
And that will be available, and it could be made into a screensaver, all kinds of bunches of things, but that's going to go up. And the Attitude of Gratitude script will be up somewhere again in a month or so. But if people would like to sign up, all they have to do is email me at raleighpinsky.com,
mm-hmm,
and then just put in the subject line, put me on your mailing list. Or they can go to my website of raleighpinsky.com and sign up for my newsletter, and they'll be kept in the loop of all the things that I'm doing.
Well, Rolly, I don't know where the time went, but I just had a ball. I mean, this was so fabulous. I just want to thank you so, so very much for sharing your life with us and our listeners and telling us how comfortable your shoes are now after your soul-searching
journey. But now you know what happens when you have comfortable shoes.
You need a new pair.
Yeah.
You want more pairs.
Yeah.
You want one in every color, of course.
You got to keep them going.
Hey, you got to get as many comfortable pairs of shoes as possible.
There you go.
Thank
you, Lauren. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure sharing with you.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I'm looking forward to the next installment of Soul
685. I don't think it'll be Soul. It might be Soul 686. You never know.
Beautiful. Well, and of course, not only do I want to thank Rolly Pinsky again for sharing her shoes and more with us, but also want to thank you lovely listeners out there for joining us. We're live in Los Angeles. It's Thursday, July 16th at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time.
And they can, you know, they Blog Talk Radio, Raleigh R. Pinsky. You know,
that's right. You can
come and
Raleigh
visit my show,
yes.
Attitude of Gratitude, and Lauren's going to be on my show, and so we'll talk some more.
Thank you for joining us.
Be well. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.